When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers, viewers, and listeners to a brand new edition of the Pewter Report podcast, energized by Celsius, the official energy drink of PewterReport.com. It is a Tuesday edition of the show. Want to say hello to all the people that are filing in because we have a great episode in store for everybody. I'm your host, Matt Matera. Joined with me is the face that runs the place at PewterReport.com, SR Scott Reynolds. And joining us today, going into his second year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he was drafted in the fifth round of last year's draft, hailing from the University of Pittsburgh, where they had greats like Darrell Revis, Aaron Donald, and Larry Fitzgerald. He joins a current
crop. Ankle as you can see.
He joins a current crop of Bucs that include Kalijah Kancey and the returning Jordan Whitehead. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, joining the show, inside linebacker Servassier Dennis. Servassier, thank you so much for joining the show. How you doing today?
I'm well. Thank you for having me today.
Man, we're excited to have you. I had a chance to really get to know you last year. You're kind of one of my go-to guys in terms of just chatting in the locker room and kind of following your story. I remember at your first rookie minicamp, Matt and I were sitting there watching you, and we were pretty excited about you being a good fit because you're a cerebral guy, right? You're a Todd Bowles guy, and I knew from interviewing you at the combine for a few minutes, just that initial impression, right? Studious, high football IQ, etc. I was like, this guy he's a Todd Bowles type of linebacker. And then we looked at your stats, right? 7 sacks as a senior. We know Todd Bowles likes to blitz. And we also know that in rookie minicamp and OTAs, the offseason, it's all flag football, right? There's right. No blitzing. There's no tackling. No physicality. It's flag football. So the first, like, couple of minutes into your very first NFL practice, like, boom, pick 6, right? And Matt and I look at each other like, we were not expecting that.
That's how you make a statement.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So you had quite a little splash play to start things off for your Bucs career. And then, man, you didn't stop. Would you have like 4 pick sixes by the time camp ended?
Yeah, by the time camp ended, I probably had like around 4, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, that was something that was kind of slept on a little bit. Now, although you did have a pick six at Pitt, you had 2 interceptions,
yeah.
Right? But just kind of talk to us about, you know, how you evolved and how this defense kind of unlocks a lot more that you can do. We know you can blitz. That's on film from your days at Pitt.
Yeah.
We know you can tackle, but there's a lot of coverage element to this Todd Bowles defense, whether it's at the Mike position or the money linebacker position, which is also called the Mo, which is where Lavonte David plays.
This defense lets you be you. It opens a lot for every backer. It lets you just show your skill set. And what I mean by that is if you're a good blitzer, you will definitely, you know, be put on display for blitzing. If you like the cover and you're a good cover guy, whether that's man-to-man or in zone, you definitely have opportunities at that as well. So, you know, when I came in or when, you know, I got accustomed to the defense, it was just, you know, me playing like myself, really. Obviously, they had to tone it down or, you know, fit it to the defense. But, you know, other than that, I was just out there playing football, having fun.
What was it like for you after you got drafted, talking about this defense, when you got to meet Todd Bowles, maybe not for the first time, but early on? Did he kind of have an envisionment for you, or what was kind of his message to you as you learned what type of coach he is and how he's going to bring everyone along with that defense?
Yeah. His first message to me was just be yourself. I know the type of player you are. I know the type of guy you are. You like to have fun. You like to, you know, you play a different style of football and you just, you know, are relentless and you go get after it. So just be yourself when you get on the field and, you know, at least communicate and have fun with other guys as well. So that was his first message.
You had so much momentum building up last year in the offseason, had a really good training camp. And then that first preseason game against Pittsburgh, you admitted to me after the game, I think, Matt, you might have even been there, either you or Adam. The nerves kind of got the best of you a little bit in that game. You know, missed a couple tackles. It was a little uncharacteristic, right?
Yeah.
And then the hamstring injury, like, hits. And all of a sudden, you would have had a chance to kind of atone for that in that second and third preseason game where you would have played a bunch.
Yeah.
And like Kalijah, right, having to miss the preseason, the rest of the preseason, and shelve you for a little bit, how much of a setback was that, and how hard was that to kind of deal with for you?
To be honest, I think it was a huge setback just because, you know, you're on a roll. You just, you know, you're feeling good. You're playing like yourself. And then, obviously, I always say I didn't have the best first preseason game or first NFL experience. But then an injury hits, and that was like, you're kind of in your head a little bit. But then again, it's also, I just need to get back to where I am or back to square one. And, you know, just waking up early, getting a lot of rehab in, and just basically trying to get your body right kind of takes back from your reps, and it's all mental reps. And don't get me wrong, you know, you need mental reps, but also you need physical reps. Yeah. Physical reps helps you, you know, just muscle memory, just know where you're supposed to be at the right time, and also the communication with the guys. So when you don't get a chance to do that, you know, week in and week out, it kind of hinders you a little bit. It brings you down to, I don't want to say square one, but it kind of brings you down to square one where,
yeah,
you know, you're just all over the place. So
was it frustrating too? Because, you know, you're working through this injury, you're taking the mental reps, as you said, and then you're able to play in that first game against the Vikings in week one of the regular season, but then you were inactive for the next three before you got to get it going again.
Yeah.
How frustrating was that? Because all you want to do is play and showcase your abilities, but sometimes, you know, it's just not the right time for a number of reasons.
Yeah, of course. But you just think you're ready at sometimes with, you know, certain injuries and certain things. You just think you're ready to go, and your body's like, whoa, just slow down. Take it easy. Yeah. So that was, like I said, that was huge just because, you know, you want to get back out there. You want to show off your abilities. You want to just play. You just want to, you know, show people that you're here for a reason. You could be here. And sometimes everyone's just like, slow down. Like, even your body, just slow down and take a step back and just recover. Be a pro. So
maybe the bright spot of missing some of that time, and then, of course, the bye week hits, is, you know, you made a triumphant return to the football field wearing those creamsicles, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha. What are your thoughts on the Bucko Bruce, the old creamsicle uniforms? Did you get caught up in the hoopla of that uniform change for that week, like everybody else?
I was definitely excited, you know, just to wear that white helmet and that creamsicle jersey.
Yeah.
But also, I was just excited to be back on the field. That was, like you said, my first game back. Mm-hmm. And I was just ready to get after it. But then again, it was also sweet just wearing that uniform combo. So it was cool.
Yeah. When you look at the ability that you had to showcase yourself on special teams, you know, five tackles. I believe you had another tackle in the Eagles game in the postseason.
Yeah.
And, you know, what was that like? Did you play a lot of special teams at Pitt? Because you were kind of a three-year starter there. You redshirted your freshman season and then kind of worked yourself into that starting lineup. But did you get a lot of special teams play in Pitt, or was this kind of a new challenge for you in Tampa?
So my freshman year at Pitt was the four-game rule and then the redshirt. Okay.
Yeah.
And I actually didn't redshirt, so I did play mostly special teams my first year.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, like you said, three-year starter, so you kind of get away from the special teams. But then again, like, you just want to be in the meetings. You just want to be around just because, you know, if you come to the league, most likely you'll be playing special teams.
Right.
So I always stuck around, listened to the meetings, listened to the coaching points, did all of that while I was at Pitt. But when you come here, it's just like, it's just learning another system again. Most of it translates, but not everything, just because, you know, pro-style punt.
Yeah.
And then just obviously the physicality of it. So everything just, you got to get used to it basically. And yeah, that's what I tried to do, you know, this year. And it was fun. It was very fun. But, you know, the real goal is, you know, get on defense and
yeah,
showcase my talent there.
I'm curious, what do you think about the new kickoff rule that's going to be implemented this season? Because it's going to make kickoffs and kick return, I think, more important than it has been in 100%. Probably 5 to 10 years.
I think that for a kickoff player and a defensive player, that's an extra rep to get better. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, like, you get a chance to basically beat a block. You're beating a one-on-one guy in front of you, and it's right there. So it takes a lot of running out of it. But then again, it also – it's fun. It's fun because, like I said, it's just another defensive play. And for the return team, it's another offensive play. So it's just showcasing your talent there as well.
When you were able to get on the field and play some defense, it was not really kind of what you're expecting. I mean, you saw a couple of snaps here and there, some goal line packages, right? Some of those fits where you were on there. But then all of a sudden, you're playing at San Francisco, fourth quarter, or maybe the end of the third, Lavonte David gets hurt. Boom, you got to get in and show that you're ready. What was that experience like? And was that similar to that preseason game against the Steelers where there were some nerves, or were you more ready? Or maybe you didn't have time to think. It was kind of like, hey, Lavonte, sir, get in there.
Lavonte,
let's get going.
I feel like, both. Nerves, just because it's like, I'm in the midst of it, but then again, it's also the end of the game. So I was kind of put in a weird position, but then again, I was ready to go. I was just trying to go out there, have fun. I make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. So rookie year, I was just out there just playing football. Let's just, especially at San Fran, I was like, if I make mistakes, make it fast.
Yeah.
I'm just here to play. I'm just ready to play. So, and then the week after that was Indianapolis. And I think I got my feet wet. I was more comfortable, and I think I just played a overall better game at Indianapolis. So,
And I was gonna say real quick, Matt, the one thing that stood out to me about that game, I mean, unfortunately, you guys were on the losing end of it.
Yeah.
But that was that fourth down where they, they faked everybody except you, the rookie. Mm-hmm. You were the only guy that really had the wherewithal to recognize the play action and then chase down the tight end and save a touchdown. There's that play right there, where it wasn't even your guy too.
Right.
That was the thing. It wasn't your man, but you were in position because of your football IQ and reading what was happening and diagnosing it to track down the tight end and save the touchdown. Tell us about that play.
The heads up or weird part I got from the play was they put Zion Franklin at fullback. He's a linebacker.
Right.
And I'm sorry. No defensive guy wants to block. They don't want to block. So I know it's not a downhill run play.
Yeah.
And as I'm seeing the play, see the down and distance, they brought in the heavy package. It's fourth and one. Yeah. And I'm like, no way this is a run. We're beefed up front. We got everyone here.
Yeah.
It's no way it's a run. Then I look to the sideline, and I just see my coach, Coach Foot, go like this. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it has to be a pass. He just confirmed what I thought.
Right.
So I was looking at my guy, and as I'm looking at my guy, I'm like, all right, you're not going out. Somebody else is. And as I look, the ball's already thrown, and I'm like, gotta go get it. So, yeah, it was just – sometimes within football, when things aren't going to be what you think they're going to be. So like a run or just you just know sometimes. And that was it was a lot of tells there that just showed me, listen, this is a pass. And I try to reiterate that across the field, but it gets loud.
Yeah.
It gets a little rowdy. Everyone's focused in. It's fourth and one. We got to make the stop. So.
No, that's a great point. I appreciate that insight, because when you think about it, like J.J. Watt back in the day when he would go on offense and goal line, or even Warren Sapp for Bucks fans got to see it a little bit. Mm-hmm. They're going on the field because they want to go out for a pass and score a touchdown. Right. They don't want to do the physical thing. So that's awesome that you picked up on that right away. I want to stick with that game for just a moment. Although it was unfortunate you guys didn't win the game, I was just curious for you, how special of a moment was that? Because you played 90% of the snaps. It was the most you played on defense specifically in that game. Rocking the Pewter jersey, by the way. I know we're a little biased because we're Pewter Report, but we like those jerseys. But getting to play your most defensive snaps in that game, I think you made 5 or 6 tackles, had your first career pass breakup as well. How big was that for you just in your growth as a player in this league?
I think it was well needed, just because, you know, like I said, you go out there and you get your feet wet. You understand what works or what doesn't work. You understand the speed of the game. You understand the awareness. So it's a lot that goes into that. So I think just having that experience and just jumping in there when I did was huge. And then also, Levante was on the sideline, so anything he saw, he relayed to me as we came on to the sideline. So just having him there as well to, you know, not even be a coach, but just give that insight or that those tips were also helpful. And then Devin as well. He made just playing with him so easy. Going out there, he made sure I was comfortable. He made sure I knew what I was doing, even when he thought I didn't. You know what I mean? So just going out there and playing, I needed that. And then also I had a familiar face and Kalijah out there as well. So, you know, when I see him in front of me, I'm very, very comfortable. So, yeah.
You know, I would imagine too, like as your career and his career goes along, you know, and you're lined up right behind him, right? You guys had some of those successful things. I'm sure some of those 7 sacks that you had your final year at Pitt, you're going to credit, you know, your guy, because he cleared the way for you to get some of those. So can you just talk about the dynamic of how you and Kalijah were able to work so well at Pitt and how you're looking forward to doing that again as early as training camp and the preseason again, to kind of, you know, get that feel back between that first and second level when you guys rush the passer?
Of course. Me and Kalijah came in at Pitt together, so we were freshmen the same year. And you know, just as a freshman, it's, you know, eyes are bright and, you know, bushy tailed, and, you know, you just go out there and try to basically make sense of it all. And we did that together. We learned the playbook together. We have a lot of friends at Pitt, but I know we always had somebody at each level, either where it was the D-line, linebacker, safety, or corner, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
we were just trying to get comfortable with each other, learn a playbook, like I said, and then as the years went on and went by, we got comfortable, we understood the scheme we had, the game plans we had, and we just went out there and had fun. We were racing to the ball, racing to see who had the most TFLs, had the most sacks, just the most production. And when you compete with a guy like Kalijah and the rest of those guys, it's fun, not just because, you know, you're out there playing football, but because you made a relationship with guys that, you know, you've been there since day one, and, you know, we've been through all the same struggle, all the same, you know, bad things and good things. So when you compete with a guy like that, it's just like, that's my brother, and I hope he does good, but I got to beat him to the punch. You know what I mean? So as we're here and as, you know, our careers start to, you know, keep going, it's the same thing. You know, drafted the same year, learning a playbook together. Mm-hmm. We go out to dinner a lot. We call each other on the phone. I just got off the phone with him. So it's like, it's just, I hope he does well. And I know he hopes I do well. And we just want to make sure, like, together, we just help each other and perfect our skills and just be great football players.
Well, and great teammates. And he edged you out your last year together at Pitt. He had 7.5 sacks. You had 7, right? Yeah. But then you took his number, right? He couldn't wear number 8, right? You know, so you grabbed number 8, right?
Right.
Is that why you got number 8?
No,
is
that's actually not why I grabbed it.
Okay.
So I wanted 7, but at the time I didn't know he was getting it. So it was like, they asked me, what number did I want? And when they said 8, I was like, whoa, Kalijah didn't grab 8? Like, he didn't want it? And I actually wore the number in high school, so it was like, you know what, I'll just take 8 if you guys don't want it. So
how cool has it been to see, not just, I mean, obviously you have a relationship with Kalijah going back to Pitt, but also like the season that Yaya had kind of bursting onto the scene the last year, and really just your whole rookie class, Cody Mau getting to start the whole season at guard. You guys are off to a great start, really, you know, putting a stamp on your draft class and giving kudos to Jason Light as well for picking all of you.
Yeah, our whole draft class, they're doing great, really. Yaya, like you said, had an amazing season. Cody, he did his thing on offense this year. Trey, You know what I mean? Just guys that were just in our draft class that, you know, made a big impact this year and did a lot for us, either on special teams or actually, you know, in their respective sides of the ball. So I think Jason did a great job with our draft class. Even the guys that we signed that weren't drafted, they like Christian Isian. Yeah. Kayvon Merriweather. So it's just guys that just pop all over the place and just did what they needed to do to help this team win. And it was huge for us to be, you know, rookies and come in at the same time.
So when you come in and into a Todd Bowles meeting, right, whether it's defense or whether it's the entire team meeting, you know, Matt and I, we've seen a different side of Todd Bowles than maybe fans have seen, because it, you know, they always see this kind of stoic, you know, arms crossed.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely. Yeah.
You know, like that, that's kind of the Tony Dungy-esque Todd Bowles that – that fancy, and this is my 30th year covering the team. So I started like in 1995. I was here for the whole Dungy era. That was the biggest complaint about fans. They loved the guy because he turned the team around, but he didn't show a lot of emotion. Always had the arms crossed on the sidelines, had the stoic look on his face, right? But there's a different side to Todd Bowles that there he is smiling. Look at that. We have some pictures of him smiling, but you know, he can get animated. He can be funny too. And I've had some kind of, you know, off the record moments with him where he's not at the podium and he's not all serious and kind of short with the answers. And he's a totally different cat. Can you kind of describe what a Todd Bowles meeting is? And are there any like moments that stick out to you during your rookie season that were a little eye opening from Coach Bowles' perspective?
So, like you said, off the record or any time before a meeting. So like, let's say you get there 10 to 5 minutes earlier before a meeting and he has the time just to talk.
Yeah,
he's probably the funniest guy you'll talk to. He makes jokes sometimes. Yeah. Coach Bowles is just a funny all around guy. He loves football. He loves teaching. So it's like when you talk to him, it's more of a teacher moment. It's not really he's looking down on you or he's playing tricks on you. It's more like a teacher moment. So he has the whole package. He has that, like you said, that stoic look that, you know, very, very stern person, but also he's a good guy to have fun with, and he's a funny guy as well. So you definitely see both sides, but when it's time to work, you know it's time to work.
I particularly like talking to Coach Bowles on Friday because he seems to be in a little bit better of a mood. The weekend's here, and I find his comedy to be very sarcastic, which I can relate to for sure, so I find that funny. I'm very curious. You may not have heard the story. You may not have been around when Coach Bowles had a reaction to this, but we had Jose Ramirez on last year before the season, and he was telling us a time where he accidentally parked in Coach Bowles' parking spot at one of his first days there. I would have loved to see Coach Bowles' reaction, but yeah. I don't know if you were there when it happened.
No, I wasn't. And thank goodness I wasn't, because it's just knowing Coach Bowles, it wouldn't have been a pretty sight.
Yeah. You know, he definitely is a cerebral kind of guy, right? I mean, his defense is intricate. It's sophisticated. There's a lot going on. It requires a guy that really has that high football IQ, right? And I covered like the best linebacker in Bucs history, Derek Brooks. You know, every minute I came in the door in 95 when he was here, you know, I've been so fortunate to cover, you know, Derek Brooks 2.0, which is Levante David, although Levante is his own guy. He's his own legend, you know.
Right.
But for you to come in, and we talked about this in the locker room. Matter of fact, I just put a story on you in our chat here. It's on PeterReport.com, just came out. I remember you talking to me during the season about how fortunate you were, right? Like, you've got Levante David in the room next to you, right? You've got Larry Foote, who played linebacker in the NFL for a decade or so, as your position coach. You got Shelton Quarles, director of football operations, who won a Super Bowl with this team and the original Super Bowl team in 2002 in the building, right? There's so many guys. I think I sent you some Hardy Nickerson film, you know, to take a look at. He's old school Buccaneer. but for you to have all those resources at your disposal and you watch a lot of film, you know, just how great is that to kind of be, you know, I mean, I don't want to say Tampa's like linebacker U. It's not a college, but I mean, it's had its share of tremendous linebacker play.
Yeah, definitely. It's just amazing, you know, being around those guys, being around just so much knowledge and experience in the league. You just try to pull something from each of them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't want to hear how they say the message. You want to hear the message.
Yeah.
And if you can get that across, you know, the way they say things is golden.
Yeah.
It's just everything they say is something you need to hear or something that regardless, it's a must hear because they're giving great tips, not just as a football player, but as a man as well. And just being around them, boy, it's like I said, I'm just thankful. I got a chance to play with Levante. Mm-hmm. I'm just thankful I'm in a room that I am in and that I am where I am. And also, you know, getting a chance to talk to Derek Brooks as well. So just all of that is just amazing being a linebacker in the Tampa Bay system.
Well, in this year, too, you might have a chance to start alongside Levante David. First of all, what was your impression when they re-signed the ageless wonder, right? He's back for a year. I don't know. Was it 25, 30 now? How many years he's been here? but I mean, he's 34 years old, right? But I mean, he didn't look like it, didn't play like it for sure.
Right.
So what are your thoughts on him coming back? And then with Devin White's departure, you know, we've asked Todd Bowles, we've asked Jason Light, is this, you know, KJ Britt's job? And they're like, you know, he's in the mix, but we love Voss. He's in the mix too, right? So, you know, you've had time to learn both the Mo Backer and the Mike Backer spots. Yep. So you're well-versed in both this, you know, after your first season here. But tell us about Levante coming back and then you possibly having the chance to start next to him if you can win that other job.
Of course. Levante coming back was huge. And it's not just for me, it's really for, you know, Tampa Bay. It was huge. So, and the fans as well. So, you know, just him coming back is exciting. And I get to learn a lot more from him, whether that's playing with him or, you know, behind him. So just Levante being a buck right now and for life, it's just great. And then, you know, with Devin's departure, like you said, it opens a lot of doors. And I'm excited for this offseason and, you know, coming into the season just because I know what I've done in offseason and I know how much I have my head in the playbook. I know how much I've worked on, the things I needed to work on just, you know, to get an opportunity that I'm in right now. So I'm just excited for this competition with KJ and, you know, with everybody in the room, really. It's just competition all over the place. But also it's a band of brothers, really. And that's how we look at it. That's how we shape it. And just to compete with the guys in the room is just huge. So, you know, I'm ready to take the opportunity head on and hopefully the best man win.
Yeah, Voss, how different is your training this year compared to last season? Like as a rookie, you got the combine, all these different things where this year you can kind of just focus on you, the playbook, as you said, and getting ready for year two.
I always say like training for the combine is like training for a track meet.
Yeah. So,
and you know, we play football, we play a physical game, we play a game that, you know, requires attention all over the body, whether that's shoulders, knees, hips, regardless, we just play a different sport. So training last year to compared to this year was very different. This year I'm working on the little muscles, the little things that I needed just so other things either feel good or move better or are stronger. So it's just really focusing on, like I said, my body. I'm not worried about a time. I'm not worried about how high I jumped, how far, nothing like that.
Right.
Now it's about, you know, getting ready for the brutal game and then also the mental game. And that's how I approached my offseason.
Yeah. Got a question here from Tobias Stark. How confident are you, Servacier, for the upcoming season? Do you think you can win that linebacker job next to Levante? So let me just kind of rephrase it. What is it going to take for you, right? I mean, where have you grown as a player behind the scenes? What do you have to really hone in on during the OTAs in this offseason to get better, to put you in a position to win that job come the preseason? What is it going to take for you in your mind?
I think it's really communication. Last year, I wouldn't say I was the best with communication just because I felt I was – you know, I was a rookie. Mm-hmm. I'm the youngest in the room. And it's just like being that type of that presence or that voice on the field is a lot coming from a rookie. Because, you know, sometimes you don't feel like they're listening just because, and it's really just because of the outside games they play on rookies. So, I think I'm very confident in this year, this upcoming season, just because I know what I worked on for my body. I know what I worked on for my communication as well, and then also being in the playbook. So I have more knowledge on where everyone needs to be. Yeah. I watched tons of film in this offseason. Just not just on me, but like on everyone and on the mistakes and the good things. So it was this offseason I had was just very eye opening, and I understand what I have to do and what I need to do to win that job.
And what different players are you watching?
Yeah.
Really, it was most of the All Pro guys. So like Roquan, Fred, even some guys like number 23 from the Jags, Zaire Franklin. Yeah. Just guys that are really good at the game of football, and then not even just the game of football, but at linebacker. Yeah. Those guys understand where they need to be. Those guys understand their help, and then they just understand football. So just watching them and watching their tools, watching their, you know, sometimes you really can't see how a person thinks, but yeah, you understand it as the game goes on. So,
you know, Matt and I, when we're sitting in there listening to Todd Bowles' press conference, usually like after losses or something, or breakdowns in the defense, communication or lack thereof is always the culprit, right?
Just like communication.
You want to get on Coach Bowles' good side, communicate, over-communicate, you know, and be that traffic cop out there, because that more than anything will get you in Bowles' good graces. Not that you aren't already, but I mean, that's just so key, right? I mean, how often do you hear that word, whether it's from Coach Foote or Coach Bowles on the defensive side? I should say, how many times a day do you hear that word?
That's what I was going to say. You hear it every day. Yeah. And then you probably hear it 10 times a meeting. And then you have defense as a unit, and then the defense as a position.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just whatever. So you hear it a lot. And, you know, just over-communicating helps everyone on the field.
Yeah.
And as you understand that, as you start to learn that, then it's like, oh, the game is so much easier. Mm-hmm. The game is so much easier. At that point, it's just physical because the mental is already taken care of.
What are the intricacies between the middle linebacker, right? Which is typically when Devin was doing it, that's more of the blitzer, that guy in the box, et cetera. And then the Mo with Levante's coverage skills, obviously Todd's going to take advantage of that, whether it's covering it back out of the backfield or a tight end. Is it as simple as that, or are there some more intricacies between the Mo and the Mike backer?
I would say it's very simple. To be honest, if you could play one, you could play both.
Yeah.
And
because they're both asked to do the same thing.
Correct. It's just flip-flop. Rules. Right. Yeah. So, if you could do one, you could do both. And if you can really understand the defense, it helps you out as a whole. And if you communicate very well, that's just, you know, stuff added onto the plate. So you need those attributes to be a good linebacker. And then if you want to be a great linebacker, that's where the stuff like formation recognition comes in, down and distance comes in. Just knowing your opponent, the game plan. So it's a lot to it, but then again, it's very easy to comprehend and pick up.
I feel like I know the answer to this, but as far as getting up to speed in the NFL with the mental side and the physical side, which one is a little bit tougher? It sounds like it's the mental side, but I don't want to speak for you.
Not for you, man. You get the football IQ, right?
I mean, yeah, definitely. But like, just the mental side of it is, so like my coach is a linebacker.
Yeah.
And Coach Foote, like with him, it's so different than how anyone else sees the game or how anyone else teaches the game. So just knowing how he coaches it and what he sees, it's like, okay, let me get to that level. Because if I could see what he sees, if I could see how he coaches it, then everything is like, it's to the point where he teaches it so it's easy. Mm-hmm. And then once you see how he thinks about it, it's easier. And then it's like, oh, I know it's coming. Or I've been there. Trust me, it's a lot, or you might not understand it, but it's just easier if you understand it mentally.
Yeah.
So the physical part, I mean, it's everything is physical. You got to bang. It's the game of the game.
Yep. You guys really had, it was like a tale of three seasons, right? You start off 3-1.
Yep.
And you sink down to 4-7. I mean, Todd Bowles' job was in jeopardy. I mean, it was looking a little scary. You know, this is the NFL's, it's a kid's game, but it's also a business, you know,
right.
You know that. And then all of a sudden, boom, you guys rattle off 5 out of the last 6 wins and you're in the playoffs. You stomp the Eagles at home and get some revenge from the week 3 loss on Monday night. And, and then the season just comes to that abrupt end in Detroit after you guys were tied heading into the fourth quarter. You got Detroit on the schedule again, right? And you got the 49ers. You weren't here 2 years ago, but this is a team now in San Francisco that has won the last two times out there. And it was a hard-fought game the last time you played in that game on defense as well as special teams. What are your thoughts? I mean, you know, it seems like the NFC is going to run through either Detroit or San Francisco based upon last year, but, you know, you guys win the division again. You're right in the mix. Right. So what are your thoughts on this? The schedule doesn't come out, but you know who you're going to play, and those are two teams I'm sure you want another crack at.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we won first place, so we get a first-place schedule.
Yeah.
If we get if we can prove to just ourselves, we don't even need to prove it to anyone else. If we can prove to ourselves that, you know, we're here to play with them and we can win these games, then the sky's the limit. So we definitely want another crack at Detroit. We definitely want another crack at, you know, San Fran. So, and those are good games too. Those are like, we were in them. We could have won them. It's just, you know, sometimes that's not the way the cookie crumbles. So we're definitely excited for those games. But then again, we're excited for, you know, week one and even training camp. So we just, we just got to take it, you know, OTAs by mini camp by we just take it day by day so that when that when those times do come, we're ready and we're here to play.
At the same time though, right? I mean, when you're in the weight room lifting, you need a little bit extra motivation. Last year, you know, the Saints, they were anointed, they got a car, you know, and the
contract.
Bucks. Bucks lost Tom Brady. Who's this Baker Mayfield guy, you know, coming in and in all of this, and now, you know, you got Kirk Cousins going to the Falcons. Now the Falcons, you know, you, they've already been crowned the NFC South champions. You know, offseason programs just begun. So, I mean, you know, there's a long way to go till September, a long way to go. You guys even had the draft yet. But but when you kind of see the disrespect from the national media, you know, we don't disrespect you guys at Peter Report. We know what you're all about, but when you see the national media and Vegas odds and all that stuff, does that chatter happen in the locker room when you guys are lifting and getting a little extra motivation in there?
I would think so. Cause we definitely see it. You know what I mean? We all see it. Even last year, they didn't think we were going to be, you know, as good as we were. So you see it, it creates motivation, but then again, you have to prove it, not just to everyone out there. You have to prove it to yourself. And I think that's what we're all about. You know, we're trying to become a not good, but great team. And it starts now. So if we can prove it to ourselves that, you know, we're disciplined, we're hungry, but also humble, I think we could definitely take it there and be what we want to be. So,
yeah, I was kind of surprised. And I get it. Like, the Cousins deal was big. It was one of the biggest moves in all free agency. But everyone just anointing the Falcons and writing off the Bucks. I'm like, did you guys not learn your lesson from last year? Because you wrote off the Bucks last year. Like, this is right in your guys' DNA. Like, if you want to be counted out, fine. Like, you guys don't care. You prove them wrong every single time. So, on top of that, how great was it to see everybody at, you know, the programs, the off-season training camp or off-season programs starting now, just seeing some old faces that maybe you haven't seen since last season and everyone rallying together to get ready for next year? Because it doesn't seem like what you guys did last season, that's the final chapter. It definitely feels like there's more meat on the bone and there's only higher places to go.
And then like with that, we brought a lot of people back. In my eyes, we had a great offseason. We signed a lot of great, you know, signs and did a lot of things that we needed to do across the board. So I think with that being said, it's just, we're excited that everyone's back. Like you said, we have unfinished business. We're trying to do something better than we did last year. And don't get me wrong, we had a great season last year, but we're trying to do even better. We're trying to get even further. We're trying to hoist up that trophy at the end of the year. So right now it's just focus. It's just motivation. And it's just everything that we're looking forward to right now. So,
yeah. When you look to this year's draft class, you know, you know, a lot of a player still in college, whether they be at Pitt or guys that you've played against, et cetera. We've got a question here from Nathan Elliott. We want you to play general manager Jason Light now. Servassier, who would you like to see the Bucks draft in the first round on April 25th? It doesn't have to be serious. It can be one of your guys, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, anybody that do you pay attention to the draft now that you've already been drafted?
Bit. You know, yeah, a little bit. Just because, like you said, I have a lot of friends in the draft and family. So, but me, I'm gonna be a little biased. My cousin is Johnny Newman, you know, Clearwater native.
Yeah, spoke to him at the combine.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm gonna be a little biased and go with him. I would love to see him, me and him on the same team. I know he plays defensive line, but you know, I would just love to, you know, play with a family member of mine and just have fun and do everything we can there. So.
Have the Bucks talked to you at all about Johnny?
No.
Okay, I didn't know if they were trying to get some extra intel. Sometimes they'll pick the brains of some of their players. How about any of your Pitt Panthers brothers? Anybody there?
Yeah, for sure. I would go MJ Devonshire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
the defensive back.
Without a doubt, I would go MJ Devonshire. That's just me and him. We talk every day. We worked out together a lot. And then just the vibe we have on the field as well is just like, another me and Kalijah, just like another 1-2 punch. Yeah. I would definitely love to see us go grab him as well if we could.
Do you know anybody that's come in for a top 30 visit?
No, I don't know anyone that came.
Okay. Yeah. There's some interesting names there. It's gonna be really interesting. When you're picking 26, you gotta let the draft come to you.
That's definitely
you're at the mercy of the other teams. Maybe you trade up a little bit, but
yeah.
But you know, that's it. What was the draft day experience like for you last year? Because did you have any inkling that Tampa Bay was interested in you?
I talked to him, but I didn't, you know, with the draft, it's so just maybe one day someone like you, then the next they won't. So it was, I had no idea. And then just the day or the whole weekend was just, it was cool. It was a good experience. I got to see a lot of friends drafted, a lot of teammates drafted. So I was very excited to see that. And then again, to hear my name get called, it was something that I'll never forget. So that was cool as well.
Yeah. Bringing it kind of full circle, when you had that you know, first day meeting with everybody back on Monday at the team facility, what was Todd Bowles' opening message to you guys as the 2024 Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
It's time to turn it up a notch. Like I said, last year, I mean, we had a good season, but it's not where we wanted to go. It's not how we wanted to do it. So now let's just turn that up and one more notch and go from good to great. Let's do everything we need to do. Let's stay focused. Let's stay fast. Let's stay physical. Let's stay disciplined. Mm-hmm. But while we do it, let's stay humble. Like just know everyone in this room has us. Where don't worry about what the outside message is or anything like that. Just stay humble and just get to work so that when it's time, we're ready.
Outside of communication, which you talked about before, any other goals that you're setting for yourself this year or things specifically you want to work on from a physical nature? Maybe get that first career sack or, big splash play?
Yeah, definitely. I've been looking for it. I've been thinking about, a sack dance or something with an interception, or if I run to the end zone, just something like that. So definitely get that first splash play out the way just so, all the nerves will go, everything will go. And then after that, it's just, let's have fun. Let's play football.
Yeah. When you look at your, your ability, like I said, you had two interceptions at Pitt, one of which was a pick six. You had plenty of sacks, 15 in your career, which is a lot, right, for a linebacker. In college, but what are you looking forward to the most? That first interception or that first sack?
Ooh. I'm a sack guy. I love getting sacks, but the first pick that might just put the icing on the cake for top experiences in in the NFL. So I'll definitely be more excited for that first pick than that first sack.
Well, that's awesome. Boss, man, we really appreciate having you on the Pewter Report podcast. We're excited to see what you're going to do in year two.
Definitely.
And, we'll be out there covering you at the OTAs, the mini camp, et cetera, this summer. And just really appreciate you coming on the Pewter Report podcast, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Boss.
Definitely. Yep. I appreciate it, guys.
Yep. Well, that's Servacier Dennis, one of the bright stars for this Buccaneer defense, Matt. We saw some of the guys last year, the Kalijah Kansas, the Yaya Diabis, mm-hmm. And some of these guys we haven't seen yet. The Payne Durhams, you know, the Josh Hayes, the Servasio Dennis, they saw some time here and there, whether it be offense or defense, on special teams. You know, Hayes and Voss were big-time factors in coverage. And like you said, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this new kickoff rule, you know? And
yeah,
and for a linebacker like Servasio to you know, do well running 40 yards down the field to make a tackle, as he did plenty of times, whether it was punts or kicks, but now to be closer to the line of scrimmage, closer to the ball carrier, I think for a guy that can sniff out the play, diagnose it, read it, I'm curious to see what this guy's going to do on special teams with the new kickoff rule.
Yeah, very much, because it helps correlate a little bit more of like just being a defensive linebacker, but in the situation of special teams where regular like punt and punt return is a little more kind of like all over the place and not as simulated to just being an inside linebacker standing next to Levante David or Kate Britt or whatever the situation is. So, yeah, it should be exciting to see Servasio Dennis this year, how he can take a step forward, how Hayes can take a step forward, and Durham as well. There's certainly still a lot of opportunities for these second-year players. There were a lot of guys that jumped out of the gate. We kind of talked about it with Kalijah and Yaya and Cody Mauch, but that doesn't mean that everything else is written off for the other players that we just mentioned. So still a lot of great things to see. And speaking of great things to see, I love seeing a Celsius energy drink in front of me, or in this case, on the screen. Celsius is the presenting sponsor of the Pewter Report podcast. Check out some of their newest flavors like the Galaxy Vibe and the Astro Vibe. Can't go wrong with the Cosmic Vibe either. Some of my other favorite vibes, the Arctic and the Peach, the Tropical as well. So if you need to know where to find a Celsius energy drink, go to the Celsius store locator on their website, punch in your address, and it'll tell you the closest location where you could pick one up. Could be a Walmart, 7-Eleven, health and fitness store. If you're lucky enough, it might just be your bodega.
Bodega.
And once you keep going to your bodega and you know you love it and you want to get more, you can buy it in bulk. I'd recommend getting that variety pack because variety is the spice of life. So go to Amazon Prime, buy the variety pack, have it sent to your place of residence whenever you want. Could be a week, month, quarterly, yearly. You're in charge. Just make sure you're drinking Celsius energy drinks, the official energy drink of PewterReport.com. We also got a special link if you want to buy Celsius over on Amazon.
That's right.
You can see it on our social media. We'll have it embedded in our articles as well. Yep. Go on Amazon, click on that link, and you'll specifically be helping out Pewter Report, not only if you buy Celsius, but even if you're just doing your regular everyday shopping at Amazon Prime, as many of us do. So take a look out for that link as well. And shout out to Celsius.
And shout out to Will Golston, one of my favorite Buccaneers.
Newest Buck.
Yeah, coming back to the team for year 12. And we're super excited about that. So excited. We're going to have him on tomorrow. That's right. He's doing an exclusive with Pewter Report. Everybody wants to talk to Will. Will's going to talk to us first. And that's going to be tomorrow at 4 o'clock on the Pewter Report podcast here on Pewter Report TV. Matt, we're getting so close to 14,000. That's our stated goal by the end of this month after the draft. We want to get to 14,000. That's the Chris Godwin number. We're in the Mike Evans realm right now, 13,600 or so. So we need your help, Pewter people. Please make sure that you hit the subscribe button. It's free. It's easy. Boop, hit the button. That's all we ask.
Takes 2 seconds.
And while you're doing that, give us a thumbs up. Leave some comments. That helps our algorithm, helps us get our Pewter Report podcast videos out there to Buccaneer fans in YouTube, in the YouTube realm. So we get more subscribers, more followers, and more views for our videos. And so you can do your part by helping us. We greatly appreciate it. And we're going to keep bringing awesome guests on. We're going to have Marcus Whitman on Thursday's show. So we've got Will Golston. We just had Servasio Dennis. And now we've got Marcus Whitman coming up on Thursday to talk some Bucks draft. And Adam and Matt are doing a live draft on Thursday, too. That's always fun. So
yeah, we did it two weeks ago, something like that. Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. And, yeah, we've had some great guests on recently. Greg Cosell, Trevor Sikkema, Servasi yep. Dennis, Will Golson tomorrow. Marcus Whitman, just like Will Golson, has also been on the show before. So glad to have him back on. Flash Gordon says Golston on Pewter Report already. Yeah, yep. So that's what we're saying. I mean, please like and subscribe if you want us to keep getting these great guests. Appreciate Cookie Dennis saying a great interview. So a couple of Dennis folks in the chats today. Not sure if there's relation to Servasier, but appreciate you guys all being in the chat today as well. As very much enjoyed this conversation with Voss.
Yeah, and Yaya Diaby just texted me. He wants to be on tomorrow too. So
are we doubling up on Voss?
I'd have a double header. Yeah, so we might have Will Golston on for the first half and Yaya Diaby on for the second half. So
hell yeah.
He just texted me, so maybe he's watching the show and says, "Oh, I see Voss in there. I want to get on the Pewter Report podcast too." So
that would make Yaya Diaby a two-time Tampa Bay or Pewter Report guest.
That's right. Yeah, that he's friend of the program, as you would say, Matt. we've also got and some really fun stuff in store for next week too. We've got a couple shows on Monday. We're doing our latest mock draft, our final mock draft. Josh Capo and I are working on it already. It'll be our final mock draft for draft week. And then on Tuesday, we're going to go over all of our Bucks best bets. So we're going to go through the guys. We're going to narrow the list down. We're going to say we think these are the guys that the Buccaneers might be targeting in this year's draft. And then no show on Wednesday because we got to rest our voices. We got three
a little bit.
Full days of coverage. I keep trying every year to get like Sucrets or Vicks throat spray, Chloraseptic. Yeah. As a sponsor, I've yet to procure that deal, but we end up needing that because we're on the air for like 20 hours between Thursday, Friday, and Saturday's show, and that's our draft show. And so, we have some breaking news here on the Pewter Report podcast. We've got
Diaby
coming on tomorrow's show at 4:30. So we've got Will Golston for the first half hour. Yaya Diaby in the second.
Let's go. As if tomorrow wasn't already exciting with Will Golston being back. And yes, we will ask Will Golston about his interception. I want a full play-by-play by Will Golston from his interception against the Buffalo Bills, which for Yaya Diaby, I believe, was also a very important moment for him
because
he got his first career sack against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. So,
well said,
again, another game, unfortunately, the Bucs did not win, but a memorable game because of what Will Golston did and what Yaya Diaby did. So,
yeah. And, you know, we're talking about this draft show we're doing, which is always fun. It's one of the most fun things we do each year. It's live from the team facility, and it's presented by Celsius, of course. And so our draft show is going to be April 25th, that's Thursday, next Thursday at 7 p.m. That's an hour before the draft starts. And so if you're new to this, all you have to do is just go to Pewter Report TV, our YouTube channel. You can watch the whole thing. It's a great way to watch the draft. And we're going to make it Bucs-centric and NFC South-centric. But we're going to be talking about certainly all the picks in the first round. And then as it gets closer to Tampa Bay selection, we'll hone in on who the Bucs are after. And then the other cool thing is we've got our whole Pewter Report staff. Josh Capo's coming down, Adam Slavon, Bailey Adams, myself and Matt are there at One Buccaneer Place. And as the general manager, Jason Light, as head coach, Todd Bowles, as they take the podium, we're going to have our reporters out there and getting all of the intel from those press conferences and then coming in and reporting it live here on the air to you guys. So we'll have the latest insight from those press conferences as they happen. And the same thing too, Matt, which is always fun. We get the rookie draft picks on the phone, the video conferences. Yep. And so we'll have reporters dipping out and listening to those, gathering some notes and bringing that fresh intel back for our Pewter Report readers, viewers, and listeners out there to consume, which is always fun.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time. It goes off the rails at times, especially on Saturday when there's like a lot of time to kill. So we keep it as fun as possible. A ton of Buccaneers conversation. Again, if you super chat us, we're pretty much happy to talk about anything. Last year, Josh Capo did the Will Levis drink, which was coffee with mayo and banana. You guys have suggestions about a drink or a food or something you want to see us do this year, or Josh do this year, I'm definitely down to listen to suggestions and entertain them if they are within the realm of possibility. But yeah, I mean, we talk a lot of Bucks, a lot of NFL, and just really about life too, especially on Saturday's show. Yep. So very, very much looking forward to the draft show. It's been great year after year, and it should be another great one this time around.
You mad push square U of L in here. Well, I'll be here tomorrow because we have Yaya Diaby joining the show, as well as Will Golston. So that'll be very cool. And yes, got some real answers to questions today. That's right. And if you ask some of those questions tomorrow to Will and to Yaya, we'll ask those here on the
absolutely. The chat. And again, super chats get to cut the line. So in the meantime, if you're not already doing so, please follow us on our social media on X, Facebook, and Instagram. We are at Pewter Report. And our YouTube channel is Pewter Report TV. Please like and subscribe. Leave a comment. Do all that great stuff because it helps grow our audience, as we were kind of talking about before.
Yeah.
So.
I was going to put in one little pub here for our guy, Eric Gross, in the Eric Gross Group. If you are looking to buy or sell a home here in the Tampa Bay area or in Florida or anywhere, really, you can give Eric a call because he has agents, 85,000 agents across the country in the EXP network. And he is super knowledgeable when it comes to this real estate market, which is kind of crazy right now, but he can help you navigate it. So you want to draft Eric, get him on your team. He is the official realtor of Pewter Report. And it's springtime. Now is the time, right, to maybe look to buy a home. If you were looking to sell your home and move, well, this is the guy to call. Give him a call at 513-907-4271. Or I want you to visit housesinfla.com. That's the website, housesinfla.com. Check out all of their inventory that they have, as well as their open houses. And you can also check that out at Eric Gross Group on Instagram and Facebook, a couple of great social media sites to check out. And this is the time where a lot of people are looking to move, and make sure that you have the absolute pro on your team. And that's Eric Gross with the Eric Gross Group, the official realtor of Pewter Report.
And one last reminder, again, please follow us on our social media at Pewter Report and our YouTube channel, Pewter Report TV, where we have the podcast and various other clips and more to come throughout the season. So that's going to do it for us. For Servassier Dennis, for Scott Reynolds, I'm Matt Matera saying thanks, everybody, for watching. And we'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. with Will Golston and Yaya Diaby for another edition of the Pewter Report podcast. Out.
Out. Defense. Doubleheader tomorrow.
Yeah.